that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. On today's program, we'll talk with one of the artists showing works at the Chico Art Center's new exhibit, Day of the Dead, Living Art, with artwork celebrating the traditional Mexican holiday. Tonight is the exhibit's opening reception with artwork, food, and music. We'll also be talking with the director and two of the young actors from the wild comedy Scapino, set in Italy with lots of fast-paced and hilarious hijinks. The play is produced by Inspire School of Arts and Sciences, and it opens next Thursday at Chico's Blue Room Theater. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Mall with the North State Arts Calendar.
At Reading's Cascade Theater tomorrow night, Queen of the One-Liners, comedian Paula Poundstone. Laugh the night away with his NPR favorite, starting at 7:30. Opening today at the Orland Arts Center, the exhibit, A Beautiful Blend of East and West. Featured are works by Chung Hong Chang, who blends still lifes in the European style with classic Oriental painting techniques. In the same show, see bowls and other wood-turned pieces by Judith Cleaver. Meet the artists at a reception going on right now and lasting till 7 at the Orland Arts Center. Chico's Blue Room Theater ends its run of A Heart Laid Bare, a play based on tales and poems by Edgar Allan Poe. Your final chances to see this macabre play are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. Only three more chances to see Chico Theater Company's production, the zany Mel Brooks musical comedy, The Producers. Showtimes are 7:30 tonight and tomorrow, with a final performance Sunday at 2. Tomorrow evening, at Chico State's Harlan Adams Theater, the University Chorus, a cappella choir, and chamber singers present an evening of choral music titled Of Passion and Prayers. Hear these vocal virtuosos starting at 7:30. Sunday, the university's company of touring musical theater students sing favorite songs from The Great White Way at the Zing Recital Hall. You'll hear Broadway hits from Oklahoma, South Pacific, and more, starting at 2 o'clock. Opening Wednesday at Chico State's Wismer Theater, Under Construction, a play with music and dancing inspired by the paintings of Norman Rockwell and the contemporary art installations of Jason Rhodes. This play is on stage the 9th through the 12th, starting at 7:30, with a 2 o'clock matinee Sunday the 13th. At the university's Janet Turner Print Museum, visit the exhibit Wide Open Spaces, Janet Turner Prints with Photos of the Big Chico Creek Ecological Reserve. The Turners open 11 to 4, Monday through Saturday. Chico's 1078 Gallery hosts the exhibit A Collecting Place, featuring lithographs, silkscreens, and cenotypes created by printmaker Susanna Crum. 1078's hours, 12:30 to 5:30, Thursday through Saturday. In Yuba City, the Community Memorial Museum of Sutter County presents The National Park Service, 100 Years of Heritage, an exhibit of paintings, drawings, and sculptures depicting the natural beauty of lands supervised by the Park Service. The museums open Wednesday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 12 to 4. At Grass Valley's Center for the Arts, a fresh spin on a classic fairy tale, Beauty and the Beast, in a new adaptation. This play for the whole family performs tonight at 7 o'clock, with 2 o'clock matinees both tomorrow and Sunday. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Controversial art photographer Robert Mapplethorpe has a birthday today. According to Mapplethorpe, with photography, you zero in. You put a lot of energy into short moments, and then you go on to the next thing.
Skeletons are dancing in the artwork being shown in the new exhibit at the Chico Art Center, Day of the Dead, Living Art, which is honoring the traditional Mexican holiday. Let's join our visual art expert Dolores as she talks with one of the artists from the show. Tonight is a big reception for the opening, including music, food, and festivities.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm going to be talking about Chico Art Center's Day of the Dead live art exhibit, and particularly its reception from 5 to 7 p.m. It's going to be a grand celebration honoring ancestors and loved ones, an exhibit of altars, artwork, poetry, and music. You will also experience a chili cookout. I'm speaking with Molly Amick, one of the artists contributing a collage, which features skeletons to the exhibition.
My piece is a piece that I've done this year. It consists of paper art. It has two skeletons, and they're in a garden, and it's called Gethsemane. It comes out of my family tradition. At this time of year, we had always gone to the graves with my family since I was a kid, and we would go to the graves and clean them up. Sometimes we would bring a picnic if the weather was good enough. We would talk and tell my grandfather everything of what happened throughout the year and introduce him to any new babies that were born in the family and who got married and who died. It was just sort of worked into my family, and we always celebrated at this time of year, of course, Halloween. Day of the Dead has always been really attractive to me culturally. I love going through Mexico, a culture that lives with both death and life at the same time. They don't avoid it and they celebrate it. And the dead are very much part of your living family here and now. We take time out of the year to honor that when the veil is sort of thin and your ancestors come into play and you honor that. So my work has a lot of skeletons in it. A lot of my work has those archetypal elements, including death. I like working with those archetypal elements. We don't really deal with them in our everyday culture here in the States. They're sort of subjects we avoid, but death is part of our lives always. That's sort of where I'm coming from in my piece. Even though it sounds heavy, it's a very light piece.
Day of the Dead is a joyous event rather than something gloomy, although we associate it most definitely with Mexican culture. It also resonates with other cultural backgrounds, and that's your case. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Our family was sort of different. The other families didn't do it in the little town in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. My grandparents were immigrants from Hungary. So it was an odd sort of ritual that no one else practiced, but it was just part of our family. And it took me till I was grown up that I realized other people didn't do it. Originally, my grandparents had been Jewish, and then they came to the States and they decided to give that up and be Catholic, but that didn't last for very long. We continued the tradition of going to the grave, and I'm not exactly sure whether that came out of the Jewish tradition or not. It was something that my grandparents always practiced, and we continued to practice it. We still do it. In fact, my mother died recently, and as we spread her ashes, we again went up to her parents' grave and talked about what happened during the day. That tradition continues to go on. This all sort of ties into my artwork. We honor our dead by taking care of them. Not many people get to do that anymore. This whole time of year has a lot of meaning for me. Always will.
Can you tell us a little bit about the making process of your collages?
My collages start with a base of cocktail napkins. I have hundreds of cocktail napkins. I separate them out to their first layer, usually their 3-ply. And then I cut a square of plain white material that's either 11 by 14 or 16 by 20, and I work on that as a base. It takes me a couple of weeks to lay out an image. I come back to it. I lay in the highlights behind it because the image will change as it's wetted down. Once I'm ready to go with an image, I take it completely apart down to the fabric, and then I lay plain white tissue from the backs that I've taken off. And I'll lay that down with a thinned out archival white glue, and then I start to build my image. Once I choose to do the image, it's usually an 8 to 14 hour process because I do it while it's all wet. I'll be up a good part of the night completing an image while it's still wet and pliable. What will happen is many layers will go on top of that. I'll build all the highlights first, where I want the shadows in, and then I'll start to build the image on top of that. Once I'm done, it dries for a day or two. It will wrinkle up a bit, and I'll take a really hot iron over it, and I'll be able to peel off the fabric back of it. So it works as its own piece of pressed paper when I'm done with it.
Why the number of skeletons?
I like archetypal images, so sometimes I change the skeletons with stag heads or bear heads. I like to do a lot of nature images. I like to do a lot of spiritual Wiccan images. I just like things that invoke for me a passion. I guess I'm just sort of on a roll of images with skeletons right now.
Well, I hope many people come and see Molly Amick's marvelous collages and also the other art, including community altar that you can add things to if you wish. You can offer flowers, photos, little sculptures, sweets on the community altar. The Day of the Dead live art exhibit runs from November 4th to 25th. It's at the Chico Art Center, which is right in the train station, Orange and 5th Street. And the reception is from 5 to 7 p.m. It includes a chili cookout and also live music, including accordionists. We hope to see you there.
In just a little less than 2 hours from now, you can go to that reception at the Chico Art Center, celebrating the new exhibit, Day of the Dead, Living Art. At the reception, you'll be able to enjoy food and festivities and music. And by the way, Dolores Mitchell herself will be one of the accordionists playing music live. Thank you. Scapino. That's the name of the wild comedy on stage at the Blue Room Theater, opening next Thursday. And it's produced by Inspire School of Arts and Sciences. Let's start with the director, Aaron Horst. Have you been aware of this style of theater for a long time? Because it's based on what's called Commedia dell'arte.
Yeah, so I learned about Commedia when I was in school, in college. You know, didn't really have any performance experience doing Commedia. We read about it and studied it, but I was always interested in it.
What is this style of theater?
Commedia is formed on stock characters and a troupe of actors, and it started in Italy.
During the Renaissance.
Exactly. So these stock characters are basically revolving around a hierarchy of servants and masters. You've got characters from all ranges of extreme emotional availability and just visibly there on the stage. So we have stock characters like the doctor, who's weighed down by knowledge and has a huge appetite. And then you have the Zani, who are at the bottom of the pyramid, who are the servants, and they lead with their noses, and they have this hunched over physicality. And then you have the lovers, who are all from the shoulders and moving through the space with lots of emotion, like a Romeo and Juliet type character. One of the interesting things about Commedia is the mask use. You have the servants that wear the masks, and so Zani has this long, arched, crooked nose. Yeah. But we're not using masks. Instead, we're using the physicality because we're setting it in a contemporary setting.
And Commedia dell'arte has always been totally physical kind of comedy, you know, slapstick comedy. And it's very skilled type of comedy. What's it like working with your kids to get them up to this level of skill that you have to do this acrobatic physical comedy?
Oh, it's so fun. It was one of those things where when I picked the piece, I thought, did I make a mistake? Is this the wrong thing? But then as soon as I had auditions and how much the students put in physically into the work ethic of being ready to use your body in that way and seeing them take extraordinary risk. I mean, you wouldn't think it, but emotional and physical risk to be that big as a performer in front of other people. There's a challenge with that, but I've been really, really happy with the results we're getting, and the kids are really taking some extraordinary risks.
I guess for those in our audience who are not aware of what Inspire School of Arts and Sciences is, well, it's a high school, but it's a special kind of high school. Could you describe what the school is?
Yeah, so we're a public charter. We attract students that are really interested in arts and sciences, in particular the theater program that I work in. I teach acting classes from every ranging ability, from beginning to advanced. I do think it's kind of one of those environments where we foster that ability to tap into really deep, advanced concepts.
This is Dylan Ramsden. He plays Scapine. You describe your character.
Scapine is a very interesting stock character. A mix of several stock characters, almost. Zani attributes and stuff like that, but also not as submissive and subjective as Zani is. Very overt. Very manipulative, running the show, you know.
Well, Dylan, the way you perform this, because of the style, has to be very visceral and immediate.
The process putting the show together has been very interesting. There is, of course, set blocking, but Mrs. Horst has given us a lot of freedom in our expression as we talk and how we kind of bring our character to life. I've never had that in a production before, and it's been very interesting, and that ties into the improv that's associated with Commedia dell'arte.
Is it both scary and freeing to have so much improv built into the style?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. It's always just nerve-wracking the moment before you do something big or perform this idea you've had for your character. And then once you've done it and you see the reaction, because you don't know how they're going to react. You don't know whether your idea is a good one or a bad one. I mean, that's why it's scary. You're performing in front of people and you're just going to go do this thing.
You have to be kind of fearless, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
You really have to let go.
And your character is fearless, so that goes along with it. So it's very physical. Do people hit each other? Are you tumbling? Is there a lot of acrobatics involved in this?
Yes, there are.
There's hitting, there's tumbling all over the floor. We've got students jumping on trampolines and hurling through the air. It's very physical.
Dylan, describe one of your favorite or most extreme moments in the show as far as physicality.
There is a chase scene in the show in which I'm running away from another character who's trying to get back at me for this trick I've played. It's wild. There's a lot involved in it, and I'm always panting by the end of it. It's really fun, and it forces you to really be in the moment, and it's fantastic.
Well, your character is a trickster, rather egotistical, devilishly charismatic, you said. Tell me a little bit about Scapino's situation and what's happening in the play with him.
Scapino is sought out by two young lovers who are going against their arranged marriage. They need him to help them with their affairs with their parents, kind of like sort things out. He tricks their parents. In the end, he's caught.
Well, let's talk to your co-star here. This is Sierra Hall. She plays a character named Silvestro. Tell me about your character, Sierra.
I'd say that I'm Scapino's, like, goofy little sidekick. I idolize him big time. I'm definitely on the lower end of the class ladder. I'm a servant. I'm a Zani character, which means that I have this crouched, low, submissive physicality. I'm big goof, honestly. It's been a lot of fun playing this character.
Sierra, describe one of your favorite moments as far as the physical comedy goes.
I love the moment, sorry.
Yeah, but do it.
I love the moment when you're always, she says something that she's not supposed to say, and then she starts hitting herself. And I think it's hilarious.
There's a lot of hitting going on in this this kind of theater.
Yeah, actually, this is funny. I think about, like, Dobby the house elf from Harry Potter, like how he inflicts pain on himself when he's upset with himself. And that's definitely my character. I'm loyal to who I serve. And when I don't do my job, I get upset with myself. And I'm kind of torn because I'm very loyal, but I also want to be like Scapino. I really want to be this trickster. And so I get mixed up in all of his schemes because I want to please him. And then I end up getting in trouble and I always take the blame. And it's really fun.
You're like a Labrador.
Yeah. I'm a dog.
So this is all set in Naples, and this is contemporary, though. Instead of going back to the original Commedia dell'arte time frame, this is set now. So, Aaron, tell me about how this is adapted into a contemporary piece.
Sure. So the first thing we did was remove the masks. We don't have any masks. We've established these extreme physicalities for characters. And so the remnants of Commedia that you see are small slivers of what actually was. They've used it sort of as an inspiration or a springboard for their character development. So each character looks very distinct physically. Otherwise, it'll look like a contemporary piece with, you know, contemporary day fashion and contemporary food and accessories.
But with lots of hitting.
Yes, with a very physical style.
Yes. We're talking with the director and stars of Scapino, which is on stage at the Blue Room Theater opening next Thursday. Aaron, this is great for the whole family. It's not just for adults, right?
Absolutely. We are creating a really family-friendly piece of theater, a great night and opportunity to take the whole family out. Act one is just under an hour long, and act two is less than 30 minutes. So with an intermission, you're going to be in and out of the theater in less than 2 hours.
What do you think kids, young kids, will like about this?
I think they'll love how physical it is and all the running and jumping and hit. I mean, it is a little bit of hitting involved, but and all in a playful way and in a nonviolent way.
But it's very fast paced.
Yeah, very fast.
Yeah.
Bigger than life.
Interactive?
Yes.
That's fun.
Yeah. So, opportunities for that.
So, Sierra, by interactive, do you mean you interact with the audience as well?
Yeah, mostly Scapino, but there's a lot of breaking the fourth wall going on. We talk to the audience at certain points. We hand them stuff. They're really involved in the fun of this show.
So, Dylan, described your relationship as Scapino, your relationship with the audience.
I treat the audience as what they are. Like, I know, my character at least knows, they're here to see me and watch me and all my tricks. And so I give them the inside look on all that, and I explain all of that to them and really keep them up in the story. And I do a lot of talking directly to the audience throughout the show.
They're almost like a second sidekick. if you will.
And because you're totally in character, you're egotistically strutting and showing off and taking it for granted that the audience will adore you, and they probably do.
Oh, and there are moments when we're not in character, and that's just like a fun little thing that we came up with. It's like Mrs. Horst will say, like, okay, now be actor Sierra in this part. And I'm like, what? But then I do it, and it's really funny because, like, the audience is suddenly like, oh. And they feel, like, involved, and it makes them feel like a part of it.
I think one of the fun things about that is, you know, and when they did, these Italian troops would perform commedia, oftentimes they would know who was in the audience. And the actors would use jokes specific to the audience members that were there that evening. And so when I say, like, actor moments, that gives our players an opportunity to connect with their audience on a personal level.
Well, we talk about modern theater and other forms of art being meta, you know, where it's aware of itself and its relationship with the audience. That's not so new. It goes all the way back to the Renaissance.
Right, absolutely.
We've been talking with Aaron Horst, the director of Scapino, produced by Inspire School of Arts and Sciences, and performing on the Blue Room Theater stage, opening next Thursday. It runs 2 weeks, right?
2 weekends, Thursday through Saturday at 7. And then we've got matinees on the 2 Saturdays at 2 o'clock.
I guess we should stress that time for the evening performance is 7 o'clock. Most of the other theater companies start their shows at 7:30. But 7 o'clock, Thursday through Saturday. And there's also a matinee, not on Sunday, but on Saturdays at 2 o'clock. And that's this next weekend, starting on the 10th, and then the following weekend, the same schedule. Looks like a whole lot of fun. Let's go out and see Scapino. We've been talking with Aaron Horst, the director, Dylan Ramsden, and Sierra Hall, who are the young stars of the play. And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program in its regular broadcast time, you can listen to it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts where you live. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.